welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. This is Ben Olson. With me is Nathan Fox. We are co-hosts of the Thinking LSAT podcast and also co-founders of the LSAT Demon at LSATdemon.com. All right, let's jump in. Today's email is from Austin. Hey guys, hope all is well. What are your thoughts on part-time law education? I'm actually not totally getting my mind wrapped around that. We're just talking about part-time law school?
Part-time law school. What do we think about it?
Do you know if part-time students are eligible for full tuition scholarships? My own research toward a couple local regional schools have shown scholarships are available, but full tuition coverage is reserved for full-time students only. Do you know of any part-time offerings to get law school funded 100% through scholarships? I actually think that Austin is kind of right about this. In general, I think that part-time programs are not as valuable to the schools as full-time programs. I'm not totally sure why that is, but
it varies school by school, and it's on the standard ABA 509 information report. If you look at schools that have a part-time program, I picked Southwestern Law School because they have a part-time program, and I know someone who actually had a full ride in the full-time program and then transitioned to the part-time program and was able to keep her full ride. So yes, this is a thing that happens. I'm looking down on the second page of the ABA 509. By the way, if you're not looking at the ABA 509 reports, you are not like doing the right thing when it comes to law school admissions.
Yeah.
All y'all need to look up ABA 509 for every law school that is even remotely interesting to you.
Yeah.
Like if you haven't looked at 10 509s, you're missing the boat. You need to, you know, make a list of 10 schools, go look at the ABA 509 for all 10 of those schools. And so you can really start comparing one to the other. But looking at Southwestern specifically, mm-hmm. they buried the scholarship information. It's way down on the bottom of the second page. The schools aren't super proud of their pricing schemes. But anyway, the at Southwestern, mm-hmm. there are a total of 805 students. Of those, three quarters of them are in the full-time program, mm-hmm. and one quarter of them are in the part-time program. In the full-time program, 62% of the class is receiving a grant. In the part-time program, it's a little lower. 53% though, of the part-time program is getting a grant. And when I go down and look at full tuition, it actually says 2% of the class, the full-time kids, 2% are getting a full tuition scholarship. In the part-time program, 2% are getting a full tuition scholarship and 2% are getting a more than full tuition scholarship. Hmm. So at Southwestern, it looks like on a percentage basis, twice as many people are getting full rides in the part-time program as in the full-time program.
Well, that's encouraging since, yes. Yeah, I mean, okay. So as Austin continues, I'm a practicing pharmacist now and would need to keep my day job to support my family. I think the crossroads of healthcare and law sounds like it is where I want to be. Okay. But would like advice from experts who have much more insight than myself. Thanks, Austin. Yeah, if you need to keep your day job, which I think is smart, especially if you decide you don't like law school, and you can get a full ride to a part-time program, that seems like a sweet spot. I would say, though, your comment here, I think the crossroads of healthcare and law sounds like it is where I want to be. That sounds pretty nebulous. Like, where are you getting this idea that the intersection of healthcare and law is where you want to be? I realize you're a pharmacist, but that's a world away from being an attorney. These are two completely different planets. So I'm not sure why you're pursuing law school, but good luck.
Yeah. I mean, Austin, you need to start shopping around on the 509 reports to look for schools where you could go part-time and go for free, mm-hmm. but which I'm sure you will find, but you also need to start meeting attorneys. I mean, do you know a lawyer who works at the crossroads of healthcare and law? Because if you can't find that attorney who works at the crossroads of healthcare and law, then what's your end game here? I mean, yeah, the vague healthcare and law seems like a good idea is just like, okay, I agree with you. That does sound like a promising area, but I don't know shit about it. I don't know anybody who practices healthcare law. Do you, Ben?
No. My worry, Austin, is it almost sounds like one day you're like, oh, I want to make more money. Being an attorney is a way to make more money. I'm a pharmacist, so I know things about healthcare. Therefore, let's try the intersection of healthcare and law. Like, does that work? I'm worried you don't know anything about law and you're walking into a field that is vastly different from what you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it stands to reason. Right? Yeah. It's like, sure, that sounds theoretically like a good idea. I think Austin needs to take it out of the theoretical realm and into the actual real world by pounding the pavement a little bit. You can do that virtually, but you need to be calling around, emailing around. You got to start meeting some healthcare lawyers. Yep. I would feel much more comfortable if you had a clearer idea about what you're actually going to do at the crossroads of healthcare and law. Because if you're holding out a thumb trying to get a ride at that crossroads, you know, that might not be great. If you've set up a toll booth at that crossroads, then that would be excellent. Hey, Ben, can I do some wild speculation about the future of legal education?
Yeah, go for it.
I think that we are going to see in the future many more online programs and many more part-time and just flex. I think we're going to see far more flexibility in legal education in the coming years.
Sure.
And the reason why I believe that is because law schools would be so damn stupid not to.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to give them some credit, don't we? We have to. I mean, they've been in a big ass business for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, there are, unlike the LSAT, where there's no competition, right? The LSAT is a monopoly. There's really no competition for the law school admission test.
Yeah.
So they don't have to like change and innovate. Mm-hmm. But law schools, on the other hand, all compete with one another. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a student who lives like out in sort of Palm Desert,
okay. Yeah.
You know, like out in the middle of nowhere, Palm sure. Springs, talking about applying to law schools in the LA area. Mm-hmm. And was going to like commute to law school, you know, commute 2 hours each way to Irvine.
Jeez. That sounds awful.
And I was like, no. And I was like, wait a second. It's 2021. You got to be able to find a part-time, online, flexible program. Because if not, surely someone else will fill that gap, right? Like Irvine is a fine law school.
Yeah, especially at
so is
at the part-time law school prices we have in the United States, right? Like it's like if you're not thinking that, why not? You could be all you have to do is throw up an online class and now you can start charging anyone around the world to come to your law school for absurd amounts of money.
Well, and as an educator who was able to make the transition to online, I feel very confident that online education is every bit as good, if not better than live in person. And I know I was listening to a podcast the other day and there was like some fucking old guy professor who was complaining about how bad it is to teach online. And he's like, because, you know, you might not believe this, but I get so much feedback from the body language of my students and I just can't do that online. And I'm like, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been teaching on Zoom for the last year and I do, you know, like yell at my classes to turn on their damn camera so I can see them. But when they turn on their camera, I can see them and I can get a lot of nonverbal feedback from my class online.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here to tell you that teaching LSAT online is better than teaching it in person ever was.
Yeah.
And I believe that the same is going to happen with law school. It has to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stupid for people to be commuting to Los Angeles or commuting to San Francisco or Ben, like commuting to downtown DC. Why the hell would people do that if they could just do it from home?
Yeah.
You're only going to be like many times you only had like 1 hour of class that day anyway.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 100 people commuting downtown to go take 1 hour worth of class. Yeah. Can you imagine doing that in 2021?
It's crazy.
Some law schools are going to be stuck in that old mindset, and they're going to like really, you know, go. That's like the hill that they're going to choose to die on. Other law schools are going to innovate, and they're not going to do that shit anymore. They're going to, at the very least, make it a hybrid where absolutely you can come to class if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Or you can just sit at home and do the exact same class live online.
Yeah.
It might not happen immediately, but if if you're considering law school X and they're not looking to the future with those kinds of programs, yeah, I think you need to question the like value 10 or 20 years from now of that JD, because schools that don't make those changes are going to get left behind. That has to be the case, don't you think, Ben? I mean, I know I'm like wildly speculating about the future, but
I just feel like, yeah, well, it feels like a great opportunity. So it'd be surprising if no one took it.
You know, let's say the top like, 50 law schools that all have pretensions of being, I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Pretensions.
I think it is. They all want to be like a national world-class law school, right? Well, not all 50 of those schools are going to be like insisting on the old school. Like, dude, they've been doing that the exact same way since 1950. Yeah. Like, everybody has to come to school and sit in one giant lecture hall with the oldest dirt professor who's going to poorly do the Socratic method in a live classroom because that's what they did on the paper chase.
Yeah.
You know, like, not all 50 of those schools are going to be that backward and stuck in the old model of education. Yeah. Some of those schools are going to be like, oh, you know, hey, you, like, I'll give you a candidate for who I think might do that. Washington University in St. Louis. You know how they're like super aggressive about giving out scholarships and trying to get people to come to St. Louis. Well, now they don't even, you probably don't have to go to St. Louis is my guess. Yeah. I bet that Washington University in St. Louis is going to be like, oh, we love online education.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. They'd be stupid not to, and we have to give them credit for being smart business folk. Yeah. Anyway.
Cool, man.
Thank you for indulging me, my wild speculations.
Like it. If you have any wild speculations you'd like to share with the show or questions you want to ask us, email daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.